Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City. They are our Facebook sponsor for today. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you do not have a home church, I want to encourage you to go by and just visit Apostle Casey Elliott. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
And we're back. You are listening to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest today is Pastor Kevin Akins. His title for today is A Good Soldier.
A good soldier. And I'm not talking about military. Although there are many good soldiers out there in military. But I guess what I'm focusing on today is when Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he said, I want you to endure the struggles, endure the hardships, and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To endure those hardships and those struggles. There's so many people today that, as I started off early, they just don't endure. There's too many people that are giving up. There's too many people that are quitting. There's too many people that are just saying, I'm done. And they're wanting to walk away. And I want to encourage you not to do that. Endure. If Paul tells us that we can't endure, we can't. If Jesus says that he'll stand with us, he will. So let's count on that. Let's fight for Jesus through it all. We've already talked already about how to rank up. We've been able to rank, number one, by following Jesus Christ. Two, we rank that second level by fighting for Jesus Christ. And remember, fighting is not physical, it's mental. That you got to remember that. As much as you want to punch somebody in the mouth, don't. Don't. Yeah. Use your mind, not your words. Learn how to contend with the faith, walk away. Be those things that are Christ-like, okay? And I know that some people out there would say, Brother Kevin, there's probably sometimes that we need to fight physically. And there are. I agree with that. There's times when you need to show the devil how to get out of your house, and you can only do that physically. There are times that you need to physically destroy the weapons or the tools that the enemy's using to distract and manipulate your life, and you have to physically break those stuff. Paul would say, bind them up, put them under your feet, stand on them, cast that devil out, and throw that stuff away, and make the next step. I get that. But unless you've got the mental capacity to say, wrap this up and put it under my feet, don't attack it yet. Get your mind set on the things above and not on the things of this world. Get your mind set so that your heart becomes full of the things of Christ, and that's where the glory becomes. I want to tell you what a good soldier does, all right? This is the third way that a good soldier begins to rank up with Jesus. This is going to help you walk with the Lord in your daily walk. This is the third level, third ranking. And again, I don't know if this is lieutenant or captain or major or colonel or general. I don't know. It's not at the top, okay? We're just ranking up. We're going. The first thing we got to do is follow. The second thing we got to do is fight. But the third thing that we've got to do is we must become familiar with what the enemy's going to throw at us. I'll give you a scripture. I want you to hear this, all right? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is New King James Version. I want you to hear what Paul was telling the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church had the very same problem what we're going through today. I tell you what, you could read 1 and 2 Corinthians and go, wow, this sounds like this is nearby. Just listen to this. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to invite them into the church, you feel comfortable with them, so do I. I'm not even going to judge them from that point. He says, for if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. So I'm not forgiving them for me. I'm doing it for Jesus. This is all about Christ getting the glory. And if I forgive them, that allows them to accept and receive Christ. You go, Pastor, what's this got to do? I'm not unfamiliar with the weapons or the tactics of the enemy. And I want you to know that forgiveness is one of those key elements. If you don't forgive those people that hurt you, and in the last session I talked about fighting, and I talked about those one-on-one confrontations that happen, and if you walk away from them and say, I will never forgive them for what they've said, you're in danger yourself. You need to wake up and take note. I got to learn how to forgive. Got to learn how to forgive. That's a key element right there. And the reason why, listen to verse 11. This is Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And his number one weapon is unforgiveness.
Come on.
Unforgiveness. He throws that out over and over. It causes Christians to tumble and fall. It causes them to break away. I'll just use personal examples, and you go down your own line. How many times I hear somebody tell me, I'm not going back to that church because I can never forgive what was said to me. I'm not going to go back to that because I can't forgive them. I'm not going back in that store because I won't forgive them. I'm not going to my family reunion because I won't forgive. I'm not ever talking to my brother because I won't forgive. You can use your own illustrations in there. You can put your own words in there. But the bottom root is, it's not because they did something to you. It's because you refuse to forgive them. Was that plain enough? Mm-hmm. Is that good enough? Y'all not throwing me out of the room yet. Mm-hmm. Somebody just turned me off right there on Facebook. I ain't listening to that. No, listen to me. I'm trying to help you. I want you to rank up, and I want you to walk with Christ, and I want your life to be better. But it cannot grow with Christ if you don't allow forgiveness in your heart. Get that down inside of you where it is. That's his first number one weapon. We must be familiar with the strategies of the enemy. So if we're going to rank, we're number one, we're going to follow. Number two, we're going to fight. Number three, we're going to be familiar with the enemy strategy. If you knew the enemy was going to come in from the side, you'd protect the side. If you knew he was coming in from the rear, you'd protect the rear. If you knew he was coming in from on top, you'd protect you protect if you know where the enemy's coming from. The number one way he comes is unforgiveness. The second way, we're not ignorant of this. He's got weapons that destroy anything that you try to put up except the shield of faith. If without faith, you can't stand. Without faith, you will not please God. Without faith, you can't quench all the fiery darts that the enemy wants to throw at you. We've got to have that faith. We're not ignorant of his skills. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And the minute I say Ephesians chapter 6, every one of you that have been studying the Bible, you call yourself a Christian, you have any faith in you at all, Ephesians chapter 6, isn't that the armor of God? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the armor? That's the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. This, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, so let's put the whole armor of God on. Verse 13 says, Ephesians 6, 13, I just read the one part. You go back and read 11, 12. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. put the whole armor on, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand girded up. Gird it around you. Put the belt of truth around you. Be honest. Be truthful to God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Man, get your heart right with God. If your heart's right, not right with God, your head won't be right with God. You got to get your heart right with God. Put the breastplate of righteousness on and guard that heart. Guard that heart. Put on the helmet of salvation. Guard the mind. It's a mind thing. It's a mind battle. Guard that. Pick that up. What is it? I've lost my train of thought of where I was going. We've got the belt of truth. We got the blessed prayer of righteousness. And I'm not reading this. Put on the helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Start telling people about Jesus. Where's your testimony? Where's your gospel? What's your gospel truth? What's your way of saying it? What's the way you write it? The Bible has given us so many different translations of how different ones have read the Bible and how they concept the Bible. You don't have to quote it in King James or New King James or NIV. What's your gospel? What's your testimony? We overcome the evil of this world by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony. What's your testimony? What is that? Create that. Prepare the shod the feet with the gospel and pick up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is so fascinating. In the very description that Paul writes it in the Greek, when he calls it that shield of faith, and a lot of people don't know this, but in the Roman guard, there are shields of battle, which are usually small, and they are made to run forward and advance forward. There are shields of archery, which there would be all of the people with a bow and arrows behind them, and they would shield them. But then there was the shield of faith, and the shield of faith sometimes stretched 2 miles long, and they would be shields that were 7 foot wide and 7 foot tall, and they were carried by 2 soldiers, not one, and they would advance a wall forward, and they would advance this 7 foot wall forward against the enemy. These shields couldn't be penetrated by bow and arrow or spear. Now, they could be penetrated by the big catapult and the big boulders and those kind of things, but not by bow and arrows or spears. So they would advance these into the ranks of the army. And then they would open the shield up, and the warriors would just run out of the middle with their advancing with their small shields. When Paul talked about a shield of faith that would quench all the fiery darts, he's talking about these advancement shield. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a little excited right here, so just bear with me, because my shield of faith is not carried by physical flesh soldiers on this earth. My shield of faith is carried by angels. I have an angel on my right and an angel on my left, and he's advancing that shield forward. That shield was never meant to retreat behind. That shield was never meant to hide behind. He's moving me forward. He's ranking me up. He's already providing the victory that is standing ahead of me. Now, who's carrying your shield? What kind of shield do you got? What's going on? Listen, I'm not ignorant of the enemy's devices, and he's going to throw everything he can at me. But I stand with a shield of faith, with an angel on my right and an angel on my left. I'm advancing for the kingdom of God. So, be familiar with that. The third thing that I want you to be familiar with is this. A good soldier knows who's standing with him. He is familiar with his friends that are around him. We've got to know the enemy's number one weapon is unforgiveness. But our number one weapon is faith to advance. But the third thing I want you familiar with is that you are not alone in this battle. You've got friends and family that want to stand with you. We may not understand you. I may not know what you're going through, but I still care about you. I still love you. I still want to be here with you. I want to see you become victorious. I want you to advance with me in this battle. I want you to advance with me in this kingdom of God. We've got to do this. Consider this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This is why we hang out with other Christians, because we want to stir up love and good works. It helps us to be kind. If you're around a friend and you care about that person, you care about that friend, that family, you have passion for them, then it'll stir up love and good works for them. Listen to verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as in manner of some are doing it, but exhorting one another, and so much the more that as you see the day approaching. I want to encourage you, folks, get back in church. Know that church is powerful. Can I speak to those church people for just a minute? Please don't let this be offensive to anybody out there, but those who are regularly attending church, I want you to know that there is already a great revival sweeping across our nation. There are revivals that are happening in the state of Oklahoma. I read an email yesterday on Tuesday where there's a revival meeting in a small rural community in eastern Oklahoma. They normally run this Assembly of God Church. That's because that's where I am. I'm not putting them higher. That's just where I am. In an Assembly of God Church in a small little rural country church, they normally average around 35 or 40 on Sunday morning. They had 200 on Monday night service.